In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we hear this wonderful account of the healing of these 10 lepers who come to the Lord in the midst of their suffering. We know leprosy, or Hansen's disease, is a terrible affliction. It can cause all kinds of disfiguration of the body, the face, the eyes. But we also know that there's a worse kind of leprosy that we suffer from as human beings, and that's the leprosy of sin. That causes a disfiguration of the soul. It causes a disfiguration of the heart and of the mind. So, of course, this event is described for us so that we can receive a message, so that we can receive encouragement, so that we can receive correction and understand what the real healing is that we must seek after, we must look for. So we know that these 10 lepers came and they begged the Lord to heal them. And he simply said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, their leprosy vanished. They were healed physically. Their bodies were healed. But then it says that of the 10 whom the Lord had healed of their physical leprosy, only one returned. Only one. And he was a Samaritan. This one returned to give thanks to Christ, to give thanks to the Lord, to fall down at his feet and cling to him and beg him to stay with him, you know, beg him that he might be with him always. It's a really beautiful image of this one, but it's really tragic about the other nine. Really tragic. And really, this is the true tragedy in life. It's not somebody having leprosy. You know, again, it's a terrible affliction. Now there's medicine for it. There didn't used to be until the middle of the 20th century. And we have a certain saint, Saint Nikephoros the leper, who lived during the 20th century and suffered from leprosy. And it caused him to go blind, and he really suffered for it. He had to live in a leper colony, you know, live as a pariah, separated from society. And yet, he's a saint. He's glorified by God. He had disciples who would come draw close to him in spite of his leprosy and in spite of the disfigurement of his face, would draw close to him just to hear a word from his mouth because he was so filled with faith. So this one who returned was like that Saint Nikephoros. Even though he was healed of his leprosy, more importantly, he was healed of his spiritual leprosy. And that's witnessed to by that gratitude that he has for Christ, right? He's a man filled with gratitude, but also that gratitude opens him up to that healing. And so then the Lord says, your faith has made you well. And he means completely well. He means well in his soul. All is well with him. Those other nine didn't experience that. The leprosy went away from their skin, but all wasn't well with their soul when they didn't come back to the Lord to give thanks. This, of course, should be convicting for us, I think, this story, for all of us. Because how often do we turn to the Lord when we're suffering some affliction, when we're desperate for some relief? Lord, help. Lord, have mercy. I need your help. This is often the case, isn't it? We go running to the Lord when we're afflicted. What about after he heals us? What about when we pray for something, he gives us the blessing, and then what do we do? What about when everything's going well for us? Things are going smoothly. We're healthy. We're happy. Everybody around us is happy. Maybe we feel like that's never the case. But the point is, when things are going well for us, or relatively well, do we remember Christ? Do we run to him? When he gives us blessings, do we run to him to give thanks? Are we overflowing with gratitude for the fact that he gives us his body and his blood at the divine liturgy? For the fact that he feeds us with earthly food? For the fact that he gives us shelter? That he's given us our families? That he's given us all the people around us? Do we thank God every day for all the people that we know, or do we grumble most of the time for at least half the people we know? Which is it? If it's the first and we're overflowing with gratitude and we're running to the Lord all the time, even when we're feeling well, then we're like the one who came back. But if we're grumbling about everyone and if we forget God most of the time until we need him like a genie in the bottle, you know, now I need you, Lord. Rub the lamp, you know, come genie, I need your help. If we treat like God like that, then we're like the other nine lepers who don't become well. They're healed on the surface, but not deep down. God forbid, brothers and sisters, that we should be like the other nine. Let's be like the one. Let's run to the Lord. Let's cling to the Lord. Let's give thanks to him every day, just for our very existence, and for his goodness and his love for us, which we don't deserve, but which we have. Today we commemorate Saint Makarios the Great. Saint Makarios the Great is a wonderful desert father of the 4th century from Egypt, lived his whole life in Egypt. He lived from about the year 90 to about, from about the year 300 to about the year 390. And he became a monk out in the desert. And Saint Makarios was a contemporary of St. Anthony the Great, and he knew many of the other famous desert fathers. In fact, many of them were his spiritual children. He was an incredible pillar of Orthodox monasticism, a teacher of piety, a teacher of theology, and so he formed many other monks in the Egyptian desert who saw him as a great example. He's associated with a series of homilies, the 50 spiritual homilies. It's a beautiful collection of homilies from Saint Makarios. And one of the themes that appears in those homilies and that's repeated, it appears throughout the 50 homilies, is this idea that we must cling to Christ. We must draw close to him. We must run to him, just like that one leper who came running back to the Lord to give thanks. So he says, cling to the Lord. And what will happen when you cling to the Lord? Well, all those passions that are inside of you, all of that brokenness from sin, that spiritual leprosy, can get healed. And it won't get healed in any other way. If we don't cling to the Lord, it's not going to happen. But when we do, what's happening when we run to the Lord every day with just simple prayers, calling on his name, when we run to the Lord when things are difficult, when things are good, when we run to the Lord with all of our problems, and rather than grumbling about people, we pray for his help with people. When we do these things, we're opening ourselves up to his grace. And that grace comes inside, and it finds all of those broken places inside of us, and it heals them. We become well. Completely well, just like the one Samaritan leper who came back to the Lord. So this is what St. Makarios the Great teaches, and he demonstrates it by his life. He demonstrates it so beautifully, because this is exactly what he did throughout his life, was he clung to the Lord. And we can see how he clung to the Lord in all kinds of circumstances. The first very kind of striking circumstance that we find St. Makarios in, it's right at the beginning of in the Sayings of the Desert Fathers, the section on St. Makarios is the very first saying. This is what happened to him. He was a hermit living out there in the desert, but not far from a particular town. And he would come to this town sometimes because he would weave baskets, sell the baskets, use the money to buy some bread, and then go back out into the desert and live on that bread for a long time. The monks would do that. They would get bread, cut it up, let it dry, and then just eat. They would, you know, dip it in the water, and that's what they lived on. So St. Makarios would come to this town, and in this particular town there was a young woman who fell into sin with a young man, and she became pregnant. She was not married, but she was pregnant. So then the people went to her family, you know, they were scandalized, and they said, "Who did this?" They were assuming, you know, it wasn't her fault, maybe, you know, somebody forced her and so on, so they asked her, "Who did this?" And she didn't want to get the young man in trouble, so she said, "The monk who comes to town, he did this." And they believed her. And so they took him and they beat him. Next time he showed up in town, they beat him up, all her family, her cousins and everybody. They beat him up, and then it says they hung black pots on him full of soot, you know, sort of like being tarred and feathered, made a laughing stock of him and sent him packing. Well, actually, then what they did to him is they said, now, since you did this, you have to take care of her. You're responsible. You have to take care of the child, right? You're the father. You have to take care of the woman and the child. So Saint Macarius, who was as pure as the driven snow, you know, he was not at all guilty. Nevertheless, he said, okay, Lord, if this is your will, may it be blessed. Let your will be done. And so he said, okay, Macarius, now you have a wife. Now you have to feed her. So now he had to make more baskets. So he worked really hard, making lots of baskets. He sold the baskets, he took the money, and he gave the money to her. And he took care of her until it was time for her to deliver the child. And then she went into labor, and the labor continued, and the labor continued. It went for a couple of days. Something was wrong. And the people thought, something's wrong. And they came, and they asked her, they said, "What is there some spiritual reason why you think this might be happening?" And she said, "It wasn't the monk who got me pregnant. It was so-and-so." And she confessed the truth, and then she was able to give birth. The child, she was okay, the child was okay. And of course, then all the people felt horrible about what they had done to Father Macarius. So they all wanted to go and make prostrations and beg him to forgive them and everything. And when he knew they were coming, he ran. He fled. Because he didn't want, he said, who needs this? I don't need all this praise. I don't need this all this attention. His whole point was to live his life in humility. So he ran, but he went back out into the desert. Well, another wonderful story from his life, that which again shows how he simply clings to Christ in every circumstance, every situation. You know, somebody slanders him, accuses him of something, he gets attacked, whatever it is, he clings to Christ. So he once was traveling, and he came back to his cell, his little monastic hut, and there was a robber there who had a camel, and he was taking all of St. Macarius' things out of his hut and loading them on the camel. He didn't say a word. He just went in and helped the robber load the things onto his camel. And he said to himself, quoting from the book of Job, naked I came into this world, naked I will leave this world. You know, God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If the Lord wants me to lose my things, okay, they're his anyway. So he just helped the robber load up his camel and sent him on his way. There's another account of that, which may be a different event, where the same kind of thing happened. There are a lot of stories from the Desert Fathers about them getting robbed, because there were sort of like, you know, bands of thugs, let's say, traveling around in the desert there, and they would rob them. Well, in this other one, the guy loaded up his camel and tried to leave. But the camel wouldn't go until they had unloaded all of the stuff. So that time God spared him and he was able to keep his things. So in all of these accounts from St. Macarius' life, again, is shown his profound faith in which he, like that one Samaritan leper, because of his faith, was made completely well. And as evidence of the fact that he became completely well, he was a wonder worker, right? His soul was healed. He was purified of lusts and passions and all of these things because he just clung to the Lord with all his being all the time. And so he became a wonder worker. And this is one of my favorite stories because I really find it kind of funny. The father of a boy who was paralyzed heard that St. Macarius could heal people, so he brought his son, who was, you know, a pretty young boy, he carried him to St. Macarius' cell, and he sort of opened the door and went inside, and there he was praying. So he didn't want to disturb him, so he just left the boy on the ground, and he went away to take care of something. Well, St. Macarius finished his prayers, and he looked around, and he saw this boy on the ground, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing there?" And he said, "My father put me here." He said, "Get up and go back to your father." And the paralyzed boy, in that instant when he said, "Get up and go back to your father," he was healed, and he got up and he went back to his father. You know, what are you doing there? Get up and go. And he was healed. So, St. Macarius was once asked, "How should we pray?" And he said, "Our prayers don't have to be complicated." He says, this is good prayer. "Lord, as you will and as you know, have mercy on me. As you will and as you know, have mercy on me." And with this kind of simple prayer, we can cling to the Lord throughout our life, in every circumstance, whether we're going through something difficult, whether we're being slandered, whether we're being attacked, or whether simply we're, you know, things are going well, and we've been blessed, and we recognize the many blessings that the Lord has given to us. We want to, in every circumstance, cling to the Lord, so that we, like that Samaritan leper, like Saint Macarius, might become completely well. Let's not be fair weather, or rather the opposite, foul weather Christians, only calling on the Lord when we need Him to do something for us. But rather, let's be at all times Christians, truly Christians, crying out to Christ from the depths of our heart with gratitude, with thanksgiving, with love, with adoration. And together with Saint Macarius, let us truly with all our hearts glorify the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit unto the ages. Amen.